There's a time and a place for a fillet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my good colleague, Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm with business on all the major occupied continents. And we begin with the occupied continent of Asia, especially East Asia. The Financial Times reporting in these last hours. Chinese state media has said there would be no harm, that's a quote, in holding trade talks with the Trump administration, indicating a softening of Beijing's position as both sides look for a way out of their crushing tariff war. This is written in London and reporting from Beijing and from Washington. The gesture comes as Trump has indicated he hopes to negotiate over trade and as the fallout has begun to show in China's economic data, with factory activity in April dropping the most since 23. Chris, you predicted this. Well, you didn't actually say it. You said it's already happening as early as last summer. It's been rolling on. It didn't take tariffs to demonstrate that China's business is falling away. And I understand they want it the way that it used to be. However, I need to understand this signaling, if that's what it is, that several days ago I remember reporting, we're not going to talk to him until he drops all the tariffs. I know that I'm supposed to be able to be deft enough to forget that I remember that I did that on Monday, but it's later in the week. There were no tariffs dropped, and now China says it wants to talk. How do you interpret that, Chris? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This is an amazingly interesting game of poker at a world scale. And in that game of poker with Mr. Trump and Mr. Xi at the table, you're now starting to see who's bluffing and who has just a pair of twos in the discussion. Mr. Xi is starting to signal a willingness to talk because you have the challenge now in China of mass unemployment. And the worst possible thing for the Chinese regime is large, large numbers of unemployed people in the coastal cities without hope, without income, without food. That's a recipe for disaster for the CCP. So Mr. Xi knows that he's got to come to the table. He's got to try to find a way out of this, to try to get those factories restarted, where the problems domestically will mount and accelerate, and that threatens regime stability.
The Chinese Communist Party has been the same since it started in the 1920s to take on the nationalists and the guerrillas. They do a lot of planning, and they do a lot of self-criticism, and they have doubts about every operation, and they criticize it afterwards, and then they go back and fight again. Is that going on right now? Or are they acting unsure about where they want to go?
So, John, I think the shift has been with previous leaders, the Chinese would always try to show external unity, but it was a party unity. With Mr. Xi now as king, it's very, very challenging internally to China because you don't have that give and take that you have in a Western, more democratic style where you can blame an adversary or have that party infighting. So Mr. Xi now has all the responsibility and maybe losing favor under heaven to the economic status within China. The deal between the government and the people is we'll give you success, but don't ask for freedom. Now that success is starting to erode, that quest for freedom might be a challenge with unemployed people in the cities. So the balance has to be struck quickly for Mr. Xi to maintain power, or I think there is an existential threat there.
You tell me to watch the ports. Keep your eyes on the ports, John. I have this line that popped out at me in this new column that the FT has published. The statement from Beijing also highlighted U.S. economic data, including empty ports and a GDP contraction in the first quarter, saying Washington was, quote, definitely the more anxious party for negotiations. Empty ports, pointing to our empty ports. Now, we do business with the world. We buy everything. So why are they pointing to empty ports? Is that them really worried about their ports, or do they think this is Do they genuinely believe that because we have a port traffic lighter than it used to be, that we don't have stuff to buy?
So, John, the projection from China is always going to be internally and externally that the U.S. is taking the brunt of the pain and the suffering from this. We, China, can withstand it. We're stronger people. We'll survive this and don't worry about it. That being said, assume that most of the statistics published out of China are false or manipulated for political gain. With that being said, things like total equivalent traffic units, containers coming to the U.S. West Coast. Now that you're seeing a huge drop off, huge, and it will accelerate this week and into next week, of sailings from China, of the number of empty vessels departing China or highly reduced containers coming into the U.S. West Coast. Now the actual tariffs are starting to bite and bite hard. So watch those containers as the canary in the coal mine to say, what is the real status of trade between the countries?
We come to our side of the equation. The White House wanted us to know that Mr. Trump met with officials from large retailers. I believe Walmart's was mentioned, the big box stores, and all of the franchises earlier this week. And the remark coming out of the press release, or the remark by the president, to the effect, the empty shelves don't worry me, so there'll be $2 to buy instead of a dozen. Something to that level of don't worry about it. Empty shelves was the image that was given by the big box stores. You said about a month ago, we had 10 to 12 weeks to get this done or Christmas is gone. What are those empty shelves meaning? Are they there right now? What does empty shelves mean to Walmart?
John, they're not really there yet based on the distribution systems, but they're getting closer and closer. You'll start to see impact on seasonal products, lawn furniture for summer, pool equipment, grilling equipment, etc., all of which is made in China. That might start to get to short supply because there's not resupply as products sell out. You're now starting to see a real risk for back to school in August, starting to look at risk for the Halloween time period. So Christmas is not yet in jeopardy, but it's getting close. And from a retailer's perspective, the retailers can work with, they're not going to like it, it's not going to be great for profitability to have these tariffs really bite into sales, but you can deal with that for back to school, you can deal with that for Halloween. Christmas is the big event. If you miss Christmas, if product is not in stock on the shelves, you'll have both a financial hit and a political hit that I think all sides are triangulating around. My guess would be the discussions in DC were to focus around saying, we've got the product now, but in another month, 2 months, it'll start to become evident in public and then be very much used as a political weapon against the administration.
You mentioned back to school. Is that significant? Is that gone back to school? That would be August.
It's very close now. I would say it's definitely in jeopardy.
And that is going to show up on the GDP. Is it that sensitive?
You'll see earnings misses. Most of the big retailers are pulling guidance. And what you'll see will be a 1-point miss here, a 1-point miss there. It will start to accrue up that the public and the shareholders are aware of what's going on. It's such a visible thing. That being said, the retailers won't like it. They're not there to miss numbers, but this is outside of their control. So I think the shareholder community will be pretty forgiving around it. But in the back-to-business use case, the game of chicken between Mr. Trump and Mr. Xi is going to be who blinks first.
There was talk earlier this week, or maybe over the weekend, that the Chinese were confident that they could find other customers, and they mentioned Europe. Is that practical on their part to sell to Europe what they can't or are not selling here?
Absolutely not. It's a great PR point, but most of Europe economically is in a malaise, especially Germany, which is the industrial and economic heart of Europe. There's not enough demand or take up in the products that the U.S. is slowing down in Europe to cover that. So it's a good statement, but it's not realistic. And that will not fill the gap that the U.S. has created.
And the announcement by Apple that it was by 26 going to have all of its iPhone assembly, some qualification in India. Is that something that China can reverse, or are they now going to have to face tighter margins than they did before the pandemic?
John, I think one of the unknown outcomes of this entire trade war will be how much it benefits India. India has been on the rise the last several years as a high-tech assembly point. If India can jump the chasm into high-tech manufacturing as well, the existential threat for China is a vibrant, economically open, and reliable partner in India. So the result may simply be that more and more manufacturers continue to expand their businesses in India while they wind down in China.
It's the 1st of May. 1st of July, decisions have to be made. Is that a good timeline, Chris?
If you're into July with the trade war continuing, it could be a very long trade war. And then watch for the political instability on both sides of the Pacific.
Fireworks in July, guaranteed. Chris Riegel, CEO of Scala.com.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.